Open our ears, O Lord, to hear your word and to know your voice. Speak to our hearts and strengthen our wills, that we may serve you, our master creator, and our endless giver of love, now and always. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. So you all look terrific this morning, despite losing an hour of sleep. Thank you for being here. A few weeks ago, I ran across a short article that talked about a painting that claims to have set the highest record amount paid for a work of art, $450 million, $350,000 along with that. The painting was purchased by a Saudi prince in November of last year, and it now hangs in the Louvre Abu Dhabi Museum. It's a small painting. It measures only 19 inches by 26 inches, and it's titled Salvator Mundi, Savior of the World. It's a painting of Christ dressed in Renaissance attire, holding his right hand in blessing, and holding a transparent orb in his left. The painting was created by the master artist Leonardo da Vinci in 1500. This painting, however, wasn't always this valuable nor as beautiful. It has a colorful, rich past. It made its way through the hands of several British royals over the centuries, but it had been damaged and repaired several times. Back in the 1950s, it was believed to be a cheap copy painted by one of Da Vinci's students. By 1958, it had been so heavily overpainted, it was a wreck, a dark and gloomy painting that no one would want hanging on their wall. It sold in 1958 for £45, or roughly $62.50. Strange things happen in the art world, and no one would ever believe that a painting by Da Vinci could ever end up in such a sorry state. But in 2005, the painting was sold at an auction in New Orleans, and the group of art collectors who purchased it paid $10,000, and they handed it over to a well-known art restorer in New York City. Miss Diane Dwyer Modestini delicately removed the excess paint and began to bring the painting back to its original condition. The more she worked to remove the layers of extra paint, the clearer it became that it was the missing Da Vinci original masterpiece, Salvator Mundi, painted by the master himself. What was once worth only $62.50 is now valued at over $450 million. Last Sunday afternoon, I spent a couple of hours at our St. Louis Art Museum, enjoying the world-class collection of masterpieces, paintings, sculptures, tapestries, and such. And then I studied the freshly created masterworks created with fresh flowers and plants that were there to complement some of the works of art for the annual Art in Bloom event. I was surrounded by masterpieces, some centuries old and some around 48 hours old, all created by highly skilled, talented, focused, creative, visionary, accomplished artists. Thanks be to God for these artists and for their handiwork. And as I look around here today, I see even more masterpieces surrounding us. This cathedral building itself with all its grandeur. The colorful stained glass windows we have, some even designed by Tiffany. The music and the voices of our talented choir and the masterpiece composers they bring to life. And then our monumental masterpiece of our Reredos, reaching high into the heavens in our sanctuary. all given by the work of talented and skilled craftsmen and craftswomen, creators and artists. But the greatest masterpiece of all is sitting in the same chair that you are. That's right, you are the greatest masterpiece. You are the handiwork of God. The person on either side of you is also another great masterpiece created by God. And the person sitting in front of you, and the person sitting behind you, all the handiwork of our God. You and I, once dead, have been made alive by God in Christ. We are far more valuable than any earthly masterpiece created by humankind. In today's reading from St. Paul to the Ephesians, we use the New Revised Standard Version. We read in verse 10 of chapter 2, "For we are what God has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." In preparing for today's sermon, I referenced several different interpretations or variations of this particular verse. The American Standard Version and the King James Version read, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them." In the Common English Bible, the translation reads, "Instead, we are God's accomplishment, created in Christ Jesus to do good things." God planned for these good things to be the way that we live our lives. A New International Version reads, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And there's the New Living Translation, "For we are God's masterpiece." God has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things that God planned for us long ago. For we are what God made us. We are God's workmanship or artisanship. We are God's accomplishment. We are God's handiwork. We are God's masterpiece. Sit with that for just a moment. For we are what God made us. We are God's artisanship. We are God's accomplishment. We are God's handiwork. We are God's masterpiece. Yes, you are God's artisanship, accomplishment, handiwork, masterpiece. And so are all the people that are surrounding you here this morning in this cathedral building. Everyone, our brothers and sisters, are also God's masterpiece. All those that we'll encounter as we leave this building today. And we are all valued far more than that $450 million that the earthly Da Vinci masterpiece garnered. Genesis tells us that we are all created in God's image, made to reflect God's love and mercy, justice and holiness on earth. We were created to continue to co-create God's original creation. The Israelites we read about in Numbers, the impatient, rebellious, grumbling, bitter, ungrateful community, were also God's masterpieces. They were headed on a path of self-destruction. God wasn't too pleased with them during that time. So God sent an angry sign to grab their attention. But God didn't abandon them. God would never abandon his beautiful work. We read story after story in the Old Testament of God's people turning from God, worshiping false idols, judging and killing others, allowing evil to rule their lives, living the exact opposite way that God had intended. And we read story after story of God offering forgiveness and reconciliation, our Creator, our Master Artist, is a loving and forgiving God. So let's come to the present now, today. Can we honestly say that we are any different from those Israelites? Aren't we impatient? Aren't we always grumbling? Aren't we unkind and unjust to others? Don't we put other false gods before our own? Are we doing the good things? Doing the things that God had intended for us, that He planned far in advance? It's only my opinion, but I think our world and our humanity are in trouble. We are a far cry from what God intended for us to be or to do. Right on our very front doorstep, we have dozens of masterpieces created by God that have no shelter, have little or no sustenance, receive no acceptance nor love from us. In our community, there are thousands of black and brown-skinned masterpieces that receive no justice, no mercy, no opportunity to let their inner creation shine. There are some who don't see a value in any of God's masterpieces, and instead, they take the very life of that creation with the quick pull of a trigger, or place them in prisons of bondage, in unlivable conditions and unfamiliar remote locales. God has to be upset with us today, just as was Moses trying to lead the Israelites. God provided the bronze serpent to heal the Israelites, and for us in our day, God so loved the world that God gave the only begotten Son, nailed and left to die on the cross so that we might heal, we might be forgiven, we might be reconciled, that we might know God's ultimate love and desire for us so that we can do the things God intended for us to do. St. Paul tells us that God has saved us from death and sin, that God has saved us by grace through faith alone, and that God has saved us to join in the rescuing, redeeming, and restoring of all God's creation. We are co-creators of the masterpieces that God had intended. Christ is lifted high on the cross today. Gaze upon the sacrifice He gave for our redemption. Know that there has been forgiveness and reconciliation. Know that there is better that each of us can do. Over these final few weeks of Lent, I encourage you to intently peel away some of those extra layers we carry on and within our very selves. Peel away the layers like those on the Da Vinci painting that make us a wreck to humanity and that darken our lives and that of others with gloom. Peel away the layers of pride and selfishness, greed and impatience, judgment and discrimination that were never part of the masterpiece God once created or intended. Peel away all that prevents us from being the bright, colorful, joy-filled, loving masterpiece that our Creator intended. And as we begin to peel back our own many layers of indifference and unchrist-like ways, let us once again take up our co-creating responsibilities with God, doing the things that God intended for us to do. We can start by living out our baptismal covenant, by seeking and serving Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourselves, striving for justice and peace among all people, and respecting the dignity of every human being. Smiling, shaking hands, recognizing and affirming every masterpiece of God in each other. Reaching out to lend support to those in need. Lifting up those who have been treated unjustly. embracing those who feel alone, speaking up and walking in solidarity with those who experience discrimination, demanding that our law enforcement and our court systems treat all individuals fairly and justly, holding our civic leaders accountable to represent the needs and desires of all their constituents, voting for legislators that seek the common good of all, advocating for breaking the school-to-prison pipeline, advocating for a fair and livable wage, advocating for sensible gun ownership laws, always sharing our blessings with those who have less, serving those on the margins of our human family and society, welcoming the stranger and the immigrant, and deeply and passionately loving our brothers and sisters in Christ, just as God passionately loves us. These are just a few of the good works that God has always intended for us to do. Let us and all creation shine and reflect the glory of the abundance of God's love in the upcoming Easter morning, when we behold our new life through Christ's resurrection. Let us be the masterpieces that God so well intended us to be. I pray blessings of discovery and achievement as you appraise and touch up your personal masterpieces these final weeks of Lent. Amen.